This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And it's a long day.
306 DGS on KMOX. Thanks for being with us. Always appreciated. If you happen to be listening on 1120 and it sounds like Tokyo Rose from World War II, you might want to check out 98.7 and it's a much better signal there, FM signal. And then Odyssey.com is great. Streaming is great. Podcasts are digitally perfect. Just download Odyssey.com. You can also send us voice memo there by looking at the Listen Live. Right next to it is a little icon of a microphone. Tap on that. You have 60 seconds to leave a message. It goes directly to Andrew. And if it's something relevant to the show, we'll get it on right away. Or if it's like, hey, love the show, hate the show, love this, hate this, we'll take it under consideration. We always do. I was just saying to the guys on the break, Wheels and I were talking about a legal case, which, you know, we do because we're intellectuals.
Yeah,
it's what we do.
I know all about the law.
And I said, I really miss law school. And I even surprised myself by saying that, because when I was in law school, I couldn't wait to get out of law school. But, you know, time and wisdom and experience, and you look back and you go, that was pretty cool. That was all right. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever felt smart. Smart was not a thing for me. Funny was a thing for me. Athletic was a thing for me. Playing music was a thing for me. Smart was not in the cards. Not to throw them under the bus, but mom and dad kind of led on that there was something kind of wrong with me. And I was lucky just to be in mainstreamed in classes with regular kids. And so I just didn't ever think of that. And so being at WashU Law and learning all this stuff and, you know, rubbing elbows with smart kids from the East Coast who graduated from Rutgers or Yale or something, it was cool. It was like a brand new experience for me, and something I'll never experience again, you know, because you only experience things for the first time once, right?
Yeah.
Anything like that for you guys that you look back and you think, I didn't like it at the time, but I wouldn't mind going through this again?
Man. I mean, the problem is that I liked it when I went to college, and when I loved high school. I had a blast the whole 4 years.
Does he make any crazy, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, but of course he had the best time in high school, the best time in college.
I
has the best time everywhere he goes.
I can't help that.
Nothing's bad's ever
happened. I'm not going to lie, it's just that things have set up pretty well for me. I didn't do it. You know, I went to a high school that's not very big. There's basically no social pressure of anything. There's just 1,000, you know, high school guys there. Everybody plays sports. You know, I mean, like, you don't have to worry. Nobody cares about what they look like. No, there's no judgment. There's none of that nonsense. No fights. No picking on people.
I mean, it's not just you that's perfect. It's your entire ecosystem.
It was a perfect setup to be in for me, for the way that I am. I was like, this is everything I like. It was sports. It was bros. It was,
At some point, we just have to be happy for him.
I mean, I'm very
happy
for him.
We can't continue to fight it.
I just kind of find it really hard to believe his claims that, like, he went to a high school where there was absolutely no bullying or no picking on or no fights or absolutely nothing like that. That's just, and then you say there's 1,000 high school aged boys? Come on.
This is what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that it's none of those things were common. I'm sure happened. Everything happens like that. But it wasn't something, you wouldn't see it every day or every week or even every month. It would happen and be like, wow, I can't believe that happened. And then you move on, because it's also a private school where discipline is at the disposal of, they can do whatever they want. I mean, like, the guys had the, what do you call those, the paddles that had the holes in them. I mean, if you acted up too much, you're getting smoked. You know, there was like no, the discipline was strong. And if you got out of line, you were going to be put back into line. But that was what I'm saying, is not saying that nothing bad ever happened. I'm just saying it was on a normal day-to-day basis, nothing. It was normal every day with the rare exceptions.
Did you ever have a job you didn't like?
Oh, I mean, I had, yeah, there, I mean, there are a few of those that weren't great. They're just mostly because they were boring. Like, I hated waiting tables. That was the worst. It was good money, but God almighty, is it frustrating because people.
This stupid diners.
But then you would get good people, too, though. Like, you had the balance. There would be good people, but the bad ones would just ruin the whole day. Because you could have four tables sat at any given time, and if one of them is a pain in the ass, it's your whole thing's a pain in the ass, because that's going to be the center of your universe.
Right?
So the question was what we wish we could go back and re-experience.
Yeah, maybe whether you loved it and you just like to do it again, or in my case, something that you didn't think you liked, but in hindsight, you really did.
The thing that pops into my head is whenever I first started college, I was just so insanely shy. And when I ended up in like the college radio program, like that's what broke me out of my shell. So I kind of wish I could go, not that I'm like the most outgoing person now. I'm still very shy, but this is like after they drew it out of me. So I kind of wish I could go back to like those first couple of days, because I was just so like, yeah, like painfully shy. And I didn't realize how like special of a time it was going to be. Like starting in that, and how it was going to change the trajectory of my life. Like, yeah. I'm here now because I started doing that. So I guess if I could go back and re-experience something, it would be being freshly 18 years old and ending up in that radio program and kind of having no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. If I could go back with like the knowledge I have now, I think I would do a lot of things differently and take some different advice and maybe go down a different path. Hopefully still end up here, because this is a pretty sweet gig. But like at the time I was not making like the best choices for myself. I wish I could kind of go back and mm-hmm. switch some things up.
Andrew, how about you?
Yeah, maybe that too. You know, I mean, I would say like, yeah, I'll give high school another crack, but then I remember like I hate school. So it's like, you know what I mean? I don't want to go back to school. So I go back to like fake school, which was college. Because I really wasn't, you know, wasn't giving it my all.
It's a great description though, because college is so much easier than high school.
Yeah, especially when you don't try, like I didn't. which I'm not saying is necessarily the right thing to do.
So you didn't even try in the radio program?
I did try in that. Yeah, I tried to do well in that, and I think that's why I succeeded at it. But I just, it's really hard to get me to, and this is, I'm not saying this is good, this is just a flaw of mine that I've always had. If I don't care about something, it's very hard to get me to do a good job at it, right? And I care about most things, so that hasn't come up all that much in my life. But one thing I just did not care about.
So Rachel and Andrew both went to Lewis and Clark 1 year apart. Do you remember meeting Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me the story.
I was introduced. We were introducing ourselves to our. It's also the first or second time I met my wife. I was introducing myself to the class of the first years, and then the first years were introducing themselves to us. And true to Rachel's previous statement, she did introduce herself by saying, "My name's Rachel. Don't get used to seeing me because I'm quitting this class."
I don't think I said that.
That is exactly what you said. You said you were quitting this class and that you were quitting the program, so don't get used to seeing you.
What do you remember?
I don't remember. I mean, that just doesn't even really... I don't remember what I said, but I just doubt it was that.
It was that, because then we were like, that one girl seemed nice, but she's, you know, I guess she's quitting, so I guess we won't, like, you know...
I guess I was just so snarky.
It wasn't like snarky. It was just more like, you know, we're all kind of talking about what we want and where we plan mm-hmm. to go and what we're planning to happen. And your thing that you were planning to happen was you were like, I don't know if I'm going to stick with this. I might just quit this program and, you know, do something else.
Yeah, I just kind of chanced into it. Like, I went into college having no idea. Like, there was no plan. There were no, like, discussions and, like, it was just like blank. It was just like, all right, high school is over. I guess I'll get a job and I'll start going to school.
Same.
And I remember like talking to a counselor, and I had heard that communications was that everyone was doing communications in 2009. but they didn't even have a communications program. It was just mass communication. Mm-hmm. So I ended up at the radio station, which I was like reluctant to do. I was like embarrassed to do it because I liked 89.9 so much, and I didn't want to seem like I was trying too hard and like, oh, now I'm on that station. Like, does that make sense? That's just how my little teenage mind worked. Yeah. So I think originally I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll take a couple of these classes and then I'll move on. And then I just really had a good time and fell in love with it. And yeah, stuck with it. Still doing it.
Mine was pretty similar. We were driving to the school to like register me for my classes. And my mother was like, so what do you want? What class are you going to take? And I was like, I want to be a chef.
Your mom took you to your first day of college?
She took me to like the registration thing because she was going to like pay the tuition or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
community college. My mom did the same thing. She drove me to the...
Yeah, it's community college. They ask you for like a $10 deposit at the door. So we got
there. Who's got that kind of money? I'm not getting my master's.
So we got there, and so we're driving there, and I'm like, I want to be a chef, mommy. And she's like, you're a lousy cook, and you don't know how to cook, and you don't know anything about cooking. And I was like, yeah, this is true.
That's why they teach you.
That's
what they teach you here.
And so she's like, nah, how about radio, because you like to talk, and you never shut up, and you like to talk.
Hmm.
And I was like, well, okay, because I wasn't stuck on anything else, you know what I mean? I was suggestible.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how about you try the radio thing and see how that works? Because I think you'd be good at it. And I'm like, all right, why not?
It's such an interesting thing. I think the differences are so stark. Like going into college, because when you went into college originally, what were you thinking?
Nothing.
Right?
I was on the Rachel plan.
See, like, I was on the. I knew what I wanted to do when I was 14.
Mm.
Like, it's an interesting, because most of my friends were not. And, you know, a lot of them, they figured out, you know, a couple of them had to do 5 years of undergrad because they changed in the middle because they didn't like what they had chosen. I think it's just such an interesting thing how it doesn't even matter what it is. Every brain looks at something and has a different view of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I was going through the whole college thing with our high school advisors, like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to go to broadcast school. Are you sure that's what you want to do? Yep, that's what I want to do. You don't want to be a lawyer? Nope, don't want to be a lawyer. Nope, don't want to do that. Nope, don't want to do that. And it was just such a, I don't know, just like a natural thing to have like a target.
I was so affected by my parents. My brother, who is 11 years older than me, had been kind of a, you know, child of the 60s and, you know, pot smoking musician, playing in bands and stuff like that. And my dad was World War II hard hat Joe, and they clashed. And when I came along and was even more on the creative side than Keith had been, they really tamped it down.
Hmm.
I mean, like, aggressively so. And so my story is, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do this, or I wanted to be a musician, or I wanted to be a comedian or a comedy writer. Like, I was even that into it that I didn't think of myself as a comedian because I had never been. I'd always been a comedy writer.
I was
always the guy who would whisper to
ideas
the popular
and
kid,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
he would say it, and everyone's like, that guy's so funny. And my mom and dad really did squelch it.
Hmm.
Like, that's not a real job. You know, you can go to work with your dad at Shell, or you can, you know, become an architect or something, but there's nothing in between. And it took me until I was 36 years old to find my way back here.
It's such an interesting thing.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why I am passionately hands-off with Phoebe. She knows I have her back. She knows there's nothing she can do that would ever in any way come between us. Nothing in the world. But I don't give her a lot of unsolicited advice. I just kind of trust her that she's going to find her way and she's going to figure it out. And I never want her to be 60 years old going, well, you know, I really wanted to do this, but my dad was not a fan.
No, it's funny because that's how it was with Shannon, with my daughter, when she was going through the whole college thing. It was, what do you want to do? Like, what interests you? That's what you should do, because that's what you're going to be best at.
Yeah.
Walking through the valley.
325 DGS on KMOX. Lieutenant Colonel Lucas Kuntz has asked me to be the host of his rally fundraiser deal tonight. It's at the Sheet Workers Hall down on Shodo, and Rach is going to be there to interview Andy Cohen. Andrew's going to be there with his wife. My son Nick's going to be there. It starts at 6:30, so if you're doing nothing or anywhere around there, it's open. There's no tickets, no pay, anything. Just come on in, and if you do, say hello to us.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too. I'm extremely excited.
I haven't been to one of these in quite a while.
I've never been to a political rally before in my life. Mm. So I'm excited to see how it goes down.
I'm excited to set the pace for you.
Since I've only seen one.
Make Dave.
Yeah, that's my friend. Okay, good. Check. I was at happy hour last night with some really interesting people who are in the events business, like literally putting on Bruce Springsteen and things like this. And they're talking about a couple of times when they lost money. And I said, why do you lose money in your business? And it was so interesting. They didn't give me any bull crap like, well, you know, you this and you this and you don't sell no tickets. They said, you don't say no. You need to say no. If Bruce wants $1 million and you need to pay him $500,000, you need to say no if someone wants this and you can't. And I just thought there was so much wisdom in that, in life in general. Like, I have not said no nearly enough in my life. Do you guys feel that way?
I understand. Were they kind of saying like, yeah, we knew we should have said no and we didn't?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the story of my life.
Right?
Little Miss doesn't know how to set a boundary over here. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
We're in deep today. I'm like,
Kevin, not to pile on you, but you probably don't have that problem.
I don't. I probably did when I was younger. But my dad always kind of like was giving.
Set the boundaries for you.
He would give that advice. He's like, just you got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
The end. Like, nobody else will. It's kind of the viewpoint. So as I got older, I understood it. And then the first couple times, you're like, nah. It's like, oh, that feels pretty good. It feels pretty good to say no.
It does feel good to say no and the world not end.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it feels like everyone's going to be mad at you and you're ruining everyone else's experience.
Yep.
But it's not that big of a deal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camo X 334. Gorgeous day out there on this Friday. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Hell yeah. 70 degrees for the high. Hell
yeah.
Yes.
The weekend, we've been mentioning this all week, top 10 weekend of weather coming up.
Nice.
No question about it.
Nice.
A little bit above average, but, you know, it's not hot. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Chilly nights, wonderful, mild days.
Dave, are we getting close to the peak leaves?
I always kind of like the end of October, early November.
Mm-hmm.
Right around Halloween is usually a good time to think about it anyway. Great River Road is the place to go. Just no question. Take the ferries across the rivers. Ah, I love that trip.
Rachel, were you spoiled by that growing up over there?
Oh, yeah. And, well, you know what? Actually, no, because I still, like, if I'm going up to my mom's house, I have to take a minute and just be like, take in this view. Because you shouldn't take this for granted.
Did you ever take the ferries?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like the ferries.
I love that. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Me too. Last time I was on it, I've only done it half a dozen times or so, but last time I was on it, it was during winter, and there was like little tiny icebergs, for lack of a better term, and there was an eagle sitting on one.
Whoa, cool.
And it was just like, get out. That is so freaking cool. I get nervous, though. As you know, I get nervous, not fear nervous, but I don't like it when I don't know how to do things. I don't know how to pull in. I don't know how much I pay you. You know, that kind of thing. Like the first time I went on the ferry, I'm like, I am all sorts of.
I never know like when you're allowed to get out of the car or not.
Thank you.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
But no, my dad especially would take us all the time and it would just be like, this is the most fun.
Would you guys go to like Finn Inn and stuff a lot?
Not a lot, you know. We would go like every once in a while, but yeah, not a lot. But it was
Grafton wasn't Grafton when you were in Grafton.
No, it was not built up the way it is now. I mean, now you go to Grafton and there's a million things to do. There's wineries, there's the zip line. They even have this like roller coaster. When I was a little kid, it was just a sleepy small town. Yeah. Yep. I really, really liked it.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. I'm really proud to be from there.
Good for you.
Finn Inn was my all-time favorite restaurant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think
I was ever there.
I went back as an adult after going there, you know, as a kid for like special occasions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I could never figure out why my parents didn't want to go there. And then when I went there as an adult, it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. The food is horrible, and it's extremely overpriced.
Jeez, off the top rope at the Finn Inn.
That was the people's elbow.
Hey, they closed for a reason.
Damn.
I had my first ever kitty cocktail at the Finn Inn when I had a Shirley Temple with a cherry in it, and I was like, this is living.
Those were the best, by the way.
Yes.
That's basically right. Like if you ever, you can get it at the store, like Cherry 7-Up, that's what it is.
Yeah, they're doing actually a canned Shirley Temple from 7-Up for Christmas this year. Yeah.
Every Friday, I've said this before, we would go to the American Legion in Wood River and have fried fish, and I would pay $500 in a heartbeat for one of those sandwiches. So good. And it was dark, and there was a big bar, dark wood and brass. And my dad would always have me go up and get the sodas, and I was like 10, maybe even younger. And I'd sit at the bar, and the bartender would walk up with his rag, and he'd go like, "Beer and a shot," and I was just like, "Three cokes, please." I just thought it was the coolest thing.
He thinks
ever,
I'm a grown up.
He thinks I'm a grown up. Must be my thinning hair at 10 years old. Must be my side part. Dave, before we jump into the forecast, we were just doing a segment where I said I didn't enjoy law school at the time, but looking back, I really kind of did, and I wouldn't mind doing it over again, just knowing now how much fun I was actually having, and for the first time feeling intellectual and all this kind of stuff. Do you have a period in your life that matches that, that at the time you weren't crazy about it, but you wouldn't mind doing it over?
I wasn't crazy about high school, but I don't think I want to do it over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, college and grad school, that was good. I enjoyed that very much.
You knew you were having fun.
Yeah, well, and I was studying what I wanted to study.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do. Career-wise, no. I'm okay with what happened over the years.
Good for you. See, you and Wheeler are both the same, and what you guys have in common is that you both knew what you wanted to do. And in my case, I knew what I wanted to do, but my parents weren't going to have it. And so it took me till I was 36 to go to law school at WashU and end up being where I wanted to be. But it seems like a common denominator of people who are pretty happy with their lives is that they did what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and I've talked about this many times over the last 24 years. I had parents who just said, "Hey, if this is what you want to do, then do it and do it right. You know, really do it. If this is what you want to do." They gave me 100% support, even though they really had no idea what I wanted to do as far as how,
yeah,
how can
how
we it would
help
be a living.
You?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell people the weather.
Yeah. Okay. And was that a worry, Dave? Was it like, oh, am I really going to be able to make a career out of this? Did that ever
cross your mind? Thought I could. I really thought I could. And the icing on the cake. I'm sure I've told this one. My dad had to have been 89, 90, and they were visiting in St. Louis. Actually, at that point, now my mom probably wasn't there, but dad was there. And I'm on the air, and then Janice and my dad are watching me do the weather. And my dad just starts laughing. And Janice goes, "What are you laughing about?" Because I still can't believe they pay him this much money to do what he's doing.
That's
great. It's great. I love it. It's great.
That's great. Can I tell a sweet story I haven't told in quite a while? So my dad passed away March 26th of 2002. And about a week before that, maybe 2 weeks, we had the Air Awards. I don't know if you guys remember, we used to do that. But it was like the local Emmys for radio. And that year I won Rookie of the Year and I won Personality of the Year, my first year. And they were these, I have them at my house, one of them, because one I put with my dad in the grave, these awards. And, you know, the classic, like they're crystal and, you know, you can move them and the light will, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so my dad was in the hospital and he hadn't spoken for about a month. And he was in his hospital bed on a sunny day. And I was there with my brother, Keith, who was always a big, my biggest fan and proponent. And he was holding the award up and the sun was coming through and it was making little light angels on his face. And my brother was like, "Hey, Dad, look at this. Look at this. Dave won this award. And it means he's the best at what he does. Try not to cry." And my dad opens his eyes and goes, "That's my Dave." Last words.
That's a great
man.
That's a great story.
And coming from not being my biggest proponent.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. like being someone yeah. who was like, "Don't do this. You're going to, yeah. you're never going to feed yourself." That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And didn't you find out that he saved like all of your clippings?
I have it at my house. He had a secret scrapbook of my track meets. And
that's cool.
Yeah,
that is cool.
But he never wanted me to know it.
Weird. I mean, weird because it's the generation.
Yes.
Because your parents aren't alone in that was.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, they're right in the middle of the pack.
Yep.
For sure. So, Dave, weekend's going to be glorious. Can you get into some specifics?
Yeah, sunny, nice, Saturday and Sunday, 75 each day. We'll go down into the mid to upper 40s at night. So once the sun goes down, which is around 6:15 now, it'll get chilly and it will get chilly quickly. Monday is sunny and 77. Chance of a couple of spotty showers Monday night and Tuesday. I'm just not impressed with the system at all. Overall, the dry weather pattern continues. No end in sight.
Wow. I saw a meteorologist on this morning saying, I didn't know this, that low humidity makes it colder at night and warmer during the day.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what a difference it makes. I mean, right now the weather's really temperate, but I mean, when the humidity is down in the 30s, like you can take almost anything.
Right. And that's one of the reasons it cools off so quickly in the evening.
Yeah.
Is the dry air.
Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Dave, I thought of you whenever I saw this story because you just said the other day you think you might have ADHD. You're not alone. 1 in 4 adults believe that they have ADHD. This is according to a new study from Ohio State University. People believe they have it, but it's undiagnosed. That's well above the actual rate of confirmed cases, which is about 4% of adults ages 18 to 44.
So I think we all agree I'm weird. We all know, right?
We talk about it all the time.
We get it, yes. But I think there's something to, like when you read your horoscope and it fits, and it just seems to fit every time. I may not have ADHD. It could just be when you're thinking about yourself and someone's saying, "You ever feel like this? You ever feel like that?" Well, of course, in life, you have millions of feelings and thoughts. And I think there could be some over self-diagnosis.
That you're exactly right. This study came out and said many people believe they have it because of sites like TikTok, where people just make content all the time like, "Hey, did you know that if you don't like to brush your teeth right away in the morning, that means you have ADHD?" Mm-hmm. Like, people have gone kind of overboard mm-hmm. with the symptoms of it. So mm-hmm. it's not surprising that many people believe that they have
it. Yeah, try to temper that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we want to talk about next? Elon Musk is offering Pennsylvania voters $100 to sign a petition from his PAC supporting Donald Trump. Offering $100 to any registered voter in Pennsylvania who signs the petition supporting free speech and the right to bear arms by his America PAC. He posted to X, "Earn money for supporting something you already believe in." I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either.
Musk will also pay voters in 7 swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, $47 for each registered voter they refer to sign the petition.
And if you can, doesn't mean you should. And I, frankly, would be embarrassed. You know, "Hey, guys, if you get a ratings meter, I'll pay you to say that you..." I wouldn't do that. You can't do that. That's not doing it legitimately. I think it makes you look really bad. If I could pay people to vote for me for president, I wouldn't pay people because it would make me look like I need to pay people to vote for me.
There was someone.
Wheels is stewing over there.
I hate He's Elon. I just hate Elon so much. I hate everything about him. I don't. There's something going on underneath where it's just a need to be A, at the center of attention, B, feel like he's influencing the world, and C, being able to use wealth to just bully people. Because that's what you're doing. You're just pushing people around because you have a big... This is always a dynamic to me that is fascinating. Like, we're perfectly fine with people who can bully or push and shove their way through by writing checks, by giving money. But we you're not allowed to do that, like, in real physical world. Yeah. But doing it with your money, oh, that's fine. It's good. Should be the same, right? What's the difference between physically shoving somebody aside and using your checkbook to shove them aside?
I guess it's, okay. So at first I was like, I didn't know that was legal because I was kind of thinking this had something to do with voting, but it's just to sign a petition. Doesn't make it like more savory.
But it's like the appearance of impropriety.
Right. Yeah. It's weird. It's very odd. It's a strange thing. All right. One more story and then we'll take a break. Disney has unveiled a new line skipping pass. Skipping tier for customers who don't want to wait in line. It can cost as much as $449 per person on top of park admission.
Wow. Damn.
But it's been called the Lightning Lane Premier Pass Pilot Program, and it begins October 23rd at Disneyland Resort.
So you got a family of four, it's $2,000? Can be $2,000?
Just so you can cut to the front of the line.
I mean, if I'm super rich and $2,000 to me falls out of my pocket all the time, sure, but for a normal family?
Just get 20 people to sign up for the America Pass
there you go.
Petition, and it's covered.
Have a good weekend, Dave.
You too.
3:54 on the Don DGS. Halloween week is coming up. It's a big deal on the DGS. Now, I'm going to level with you. I always level with you guys. Management at KMOX isn't crazy about the Halloween show. I think they got some complaints the first year when we ran the Exorcist show, which I can kind of see that. So we kind of compromised. And what we're going to do, Halloween proper, is on Thursday. So we are going to do an hour version of three of our past shows. We'll handpick them, things that haven't ran before, and we'll do those probably doing the 3 o'clock hour. We can't do the 4 o'clock hour. Steve says that's too important of an hour.
Okay.
So the 3 to 4 Monday through Wednesday, we'll do that. And then on Thursday, we're going to do a reading of a original horror story that I wrote, a short story. And then we're going to do three different listener ghost stories. And we recorded our first one today with Todd, and it was really good. Very classic, about a haunted house in Webster Groves. And he was a very easygoing, reputable guy. Could tell he was telling his truth. Nothing woo-woo has ever happened to him since he moved out of that house, so it's going to be really good. If you have stories that you would like to tell us, you can do so at dgshalloween@gmail.com, and if we like it, we'll have you in the next week or two, and we will record it and play it on Halloween.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.